Are we jumping ahead of ourselves? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Thought for Today. Are we jumping ahead of ourselves? We have to be very careful that we don't jump ahead of ourselves. Now, are you ready to handle certain things in life? Or are you just wishing you were ready? When you are angry at another person, can you go over and say, "I'm sorry I made you angry"? And you didn't make them angry, they made you angry. You know, but, and you say, "I'm sorry I made you angry. Is there anything I can do to bring, you know, a smile to your face, you know, or make things right?" And they'll say, "Yeah, drop dead." And you say, "Well, I would, but I don't know how, you know." And just treat it like a normal thing. And, you know, and then throw them compliments, you know, and say, "You know, I know I'm very irascible at times and difficult to get along with, but you are a cool guy. You are a cool person. You know, you are easy to get along with. You're a joy to get along with. You are so wonderful. Rex, that's enough. You are so wonderful to get along with, and you are such a joy to get along with." And I keep telling everybody, Rex loves you and wants to kiss you all the time, so he's licking you. And you just tell him, "No." And he'll say, "Oh, okay, I thought you liked it." You know? And he didn't know that you didn't like it. Because he's licking you and you look at him and say, "Isn't that something? Isn't that nice? You know, he really cares about me. He's coming to me." Well, he can come to you, but he doesn't have to lick. And he can come to you and he can put his head in your lap and he can do all the wonderful things that he does that makes you feel real good. But you're the master. You're the master. You're the one who says what you want to have happen that's going to make you feel good. And too much licking is not a good idea for a dog to do. It just, and I'm sure there's some psychological thing about it, but we just say no early in the game. Now, getting back to people who we irritate or who irritate us and we don't know how to handle them, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, Anita told me, she says, "Herb, what we do is we recognize that we're the creator of our world, and whatever experience we're experiencing, we have created it, and so it's up to us to create something different if we want something different." Isn't that what you said? I thought so. And so, you see, this is what Sylvia says. Sylvia says, "Hey, there's nothing out in that world that's unhappy. It's only an unhappy me that's creating it unhappy. So I create everything happy. Because I create everything with a big smile on his face. When I make Herb an egg in the morning, I put a smile on his face. Even if I have to take a piece of bacon and cut it in a circle to make a smile, you know. And that's what I do." And Beatrice, she says, "You know, Sylvia is the one who cut your orange for you and took the peeling off." And then Sylvia comes in and says, "We worked together on it." And then Beatrice says, "All right, I did it too." But you see, she didn't want to take the responsibility of having me like it so much that I come over and give her a great big kiss and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you," you know, because it just would be too much, you know. And this is what we do. Now, create your world. Create your world. And Ingeborg, what do? You go around petting all the dogs and the cats, and they come and they love you, and they want to sleep with you, and they want to be with you. And you're loving to the dogs, and you're loving to the cats, and you're loving to the dogs, and you're loving to the cats, and you're loving to the dogs, you're loving to the cat, and they want to be with you. You know? They like you. And they think, "Oh, what a cool lady. What a beautiful being. You know? What a pushover. You know? I could go and crawl in her bed, and she didn't even push me out." Now, Ingeborg, I know that you have reservations, but you could do that with everybody. Everybody could come and crawl in your bed, and everybody could come and snuggle up to you, and everybody could come and love you if you would give them the same attention you gave the dogs and cats. But now, you moderate that. You moderate that in your world to create in your world people coming to you and being loving and yet not being, what would you say, out of place. And if you had everybody here crawling in your bed, you know. Your bed just isn't big enough. We'd have to get you a larger one. And everybody wanted to snuggle up to you and say, oh, Ingeborg, you're so wonderful. And sex has nothing to do with it. This is just a lovingness. It's just like the dogs all cuddling up with somebody, you know, and the cats all cuddling in. They're not interested in sex. They're not interested in procreating. They're interested in just sharing love. And you see, we have to get that out of our mind. If you think someone's coming to procreate with you, and it's not your desire, that's your thinking. So stop thinking it. They may come with that in their mind, but you don't have it in your mind. And so if you don't have it in your mind, their mind can never transmit what they have in their mind to you, your mind, because it's not in your mind. Clear?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So just remember that now. Now, if you're sitting at the table and you're eating and you have had enough, and people want to share more with you. They say, wouldn't you like some of this? Wouldn't you like some of that? And your resistance is a little low, and it's hard for you to say no. What do you do? You don't create them offering it to you. How do you do that? How do you do that? You don't create them offering it to you. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you just are sitting at the table, and you say, this dinner was absolutely superb. I am so satisfied. If I ate another morsel of food, I would just have too much. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back. I am just perfect. I am just so happy. I'm just so full, just so pleased. And then nobody's going to offer you anything because they know that you are full. Now, can you say that? Do you have the courage to say that? Do you have the courage to speak up and say who you are and what your purpose is? Or do you have the courage to radiate it out of your consciousness? You know? Now, how many people would think of going to the queen and say, queen, can I go to bed with you? You know, they wouldn't. That's not what a queen is all about, and that's not what the queen is all about. You just don't do that. You know? And you go to the queen and you bring her a gift and you say, this is just a little token of my deep respect and love for you. And she'll say, thank you. And she'll give it to her aide, and her aide will put it with the rest of the tokens. You know, but that's fine. You have done your thing. You have done your representation of yourself. Now, the queen has nothing in mind of having things come to her or not come to her or happen to her that are not her choice. And you are equal to that queen, certainly. So whenever you are living in your world and somebody comes along in your world and they want to turn on a movie that has some things in it that are not pleasant for you, you just say, nothing. You say nothing. But you just get up and leave. You don't participate. Now, do you think that after a while people would understand what your tastes are? What your feelings are, and they wouldn't intrude on your feelings with something that is not your choice. Now, we here at the monastery are very selective on the type of videos that we watch, and occasionally one slips through there that gets a little raunchy, and so we just turn it off and go on to something else, or just go to bed. And we don't say, oh, that terrible movie, oh, that ugly movie, oh, that mean, hateful movie, oh. Why do we do that? We don't do that. We just don't watch it. We don't participate in it. We don't support it. We put it aside. And Ellen, I tell you, here you have the tiger of all tigers of metaphysical philosophy. I mean, she is just, So, we bought some beautiful... Shut up. You're thinking too much. We bought some beautiful Blu-ray TVs. We bought some blue...
DVDs.
Blu-ray. Is it Blu-ray? Well, anyhow, we bought this... very expensive blue disc... for our computer.
Blu-ray.
We bought the
Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray. Okay, well, you could have just said, yes, that's it, and then I would have felt very comfortable. You know. But no, you didn't. You had to keep me on suspenders here. So we have this Blu-ray disc player. It's a thing that Daniel Vannetti insisted that we get and said we'd like it. So we got it. And then we got a bunch of Blu-ray DVDs. And they may have a different name, but it's Blu-ray DVD. So they came with the gadget. And because they came with the gadget, and when you buy the Blu-ray player, along comes some discs with it. And they let you select. And so we selected, but they didn't have the ones we wanted. So they sent us the ones they wanted us to have. And the ones they wanted us to have were the ones that are the most popular on the thing today, violence and murder and terrible, terrible things, you know, and meanness and robbery and all that good stuff, you know, that people really love to watch. And so I said to Ellen, that's not my thing. And Ellen says, it certainly isn't my thing. And I said, well, who should we give them to? And Ellen said, the trash. I said, those are expensive things. We should throw them in the trash. She said, if we don't believe in it, why should we promote it with somebody else? If it's not our philosophy, why should we give it to someone else and then they think that that's our philosophy? And if you stop smoking and you don't believe that smoking is good for you and you have stopped smoking because you want to stop smoking and not smoke anymore, you don't take your smoking paraphernalia and give it to somebody else because then you're contributing to their problem of getting off of smoking too. Now, if everybody would take their smoking paraphernalia and throw it in the trash, and the dumpster preferably, so they never have a chance to retrieve it, then that would be good. But, you see, Ellen is strong enough to look at that beautiful, expensive DVD and just flick it in the trash. Not one second thought, you know. Not even saving the container to use it for putting other DVDs. And just throw the whole thing in its new plastic wrap, beautifully done, and into the trash. And that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of dignity for who you are. Ellen would not be seen with any of those things in her library because those are not who she is. And those are not who you are or I am. Now, do we have... You see, I would never think of bringing into Ellen's presence any negative DVDs because I know her attitude. I know her attitude and her thinking about it. She, it's not in her world. You understand? And so if I do it, I'm being mean to her. I'm being unkind to her. So I don't do that. Now, what about you, Ingeborg? What sort of things do you like? Well, Ingeborg says, Herb, I like what you like. That's an easy way to put it. So we watch Hogan's Heroes. Well, isn't that violent? No. It's a spoof. And it's a clean spoof. It's not a dirty spoof. It's not a sexually negative spoof in any way. It's just a clean...
No violence.
Huh?
No violence.
No violence. Well, we can't say no violence. They blow up trains. But the thing is, it is a spoof. And it is a Second World War spoof, and it's charming. It has a lot of charming to it. And then, what else do you like to watch? You like to watch Brother Bear?
Yes.
Yeah? You like to watch the Disney shows?
Yes.
Flying Nun.
The Flying Nun. Oh, there you go.
Flying Nun.
And what's the other one?
I
love Bewitched, and I love Jeannie, and Bewitched, yeah. You see, all of these silly shows that are so charming and so delightful. And you know, those silly shows came out in the 60s and 70s, 60s, and the 50s, and they were very good, very good. People loved them, people thought. And today, the things that I Love Jeannie was all about, they're doing. They're finding ways of having invisibility. They're finding, like Harry Potter, you know, that's a lot of nonsense in there, but the things that Harry Potter is doing, the invisible shield and so on, today they're coming up with those things. You see, the writers whose imagination and flair take you off into the unbelievable, that's the next step in science, and that's the next step that's going on. And it's beautiful. Now, in Atlantis, where we read about the Atlanteans having their vehicle, which floats in the air, their car, which floats in the air. Well, Popular Science magazine has cars that are floating in the air now. And what are these things that the military uses that floats over the marshes and swamps and over the water? It's an air, and it just has a fan down below that keeps it up above the ground. It's very fantastic. You know, all these things. If we could encourage the world to take all of the negative movies and the negative vibrations and so forth like that and throw them in the trash, you know, and take the old ones and throw them in the trash too, out of the archives. Take them all and just dump them. But who's going to make that decision? You're going to say, well, what sort of censorship you're going to have, you know, who's going to be the censor and who's going to take care of those things? Well, that's always a question. But the thing is, if it is not for you, don't have it in your house. Because if people come in your house and they see sexy movies, then they think that you are a sexy person. If people come in your house and see adventure movies, they think you're an adventure person. If they see movies on camping or movies on automotive, you know, where you're working on cars and building houses and stuff like that, they think that's what you're interested in. Or you go into my niece's house, and what do you do? What do you find? All over the place are quilts and blankets and patchworks and all the things that she's working on all the time. But that's not all. She's a master on the computer. And she has a simple little computer there, but she's a master of it. She has her desk with all the yarns and all of the things. She's just a master at anything she does. And her husband is a supermaster at anything that exists. He knows everything. And if he doesn't know it, he will tell you he knows it. And he will make you believe that he knows it, even though he doesn't know it. But he's just a super guy. Pure love. Working with the Amish people, doing everything, just being a fantastic being, a marvelous guy. And, you know, you look at him, and you have to love him. Big, white beard like Santa Claus, you know, but just a very lovable guy. So now, what do you think of him? Do you think you go into his office, which he built on the inside of his garage, and in there he has a gun collection because he likes to go hunting? He has a fishing collection. He likes to go fishing. He has different types of fly casting information. You see, we are known by all the paraphernalia that we surround ourselves with. And when you let little children surround themselves with things that are not harmonious for them, it makes trouble. So my son grew up on nonviolent games and nonviolent toys and nonviolent movies. And we always had the classical music on the disc or the radio or whatever we were listening to. I think it was on tape recordings at that time. And so I went into his house, our house, one day, and he was informing two friends who were going to live at the house with him. In our house, this is the music we listen to. We don't smoke in our house. We don't drink in our house. We don't swear in our house. In our house, it's a house of pure love. And I thought, wow, I never told him to say those things. But those are the things that he built up inside of himself. And magic, magic. You see, planting seeds, people know who you are. You talk to my son for 10 seconds, and you say, wow, what a guy. And not because he's so much better than anybody else. He just lives what he believes. And he believes beautiful things. Now, do you believe beautiful things? Do you believe healthy, happy, hearty things? Do you believe things that are beneficial to you? Do you believe things that are in your realm of ability? I say to you, name it and claim it. Call everything in your world good, and as you do that, everything in your world will be good. And if you believe, as some people do, that there will come a time when we don't need to eat or drink or sleep or what have you. That time will come. But if we try to encourage it to come before we're ready for it, we're going to be very unhappy. Not only unhappy that we can't do it, but unhappy that when we try it, we are not benefiting our bodies. We think our body needs pure water. We think our body needs pure food. We think our body needs these vitamins and those vitamins and this and that and the other. Well, as long as you believe it, your body does. The minute you realize everything I put in my body is good, everything that I do is good, the air that I breathe wherever I am is pure, then shortly you won't have to breathe anymore, because your breathing will be done mentally. It'll be done inside of yourself. But you see, that's why you have a physical body. You have a physical body so that your physical body can be the ideal. Now, if your physical body is the ideal, what do? You don't rush into things, you know? What you do is you make sure that everything you put in your mouth, everything you put in your breath, in your breathing, everything you put in your drinking or seeing is good and very good. If, for one moment, you see something that you disapprove of, then turn your attention to what you approve of. Don't linger on what you disapprove of and say it's bad, but rather turn your attention to what you do approve of. Now, Be Beatrice Enns, the master lady, is walking the campus, and she is seeing everything beautiful. She is seeing bent sticks and trees that are struggling, and she sees grass that is dying and growing, and she sees all this, and she calls it all beautiful and very good. Why? Because it is just nature's way of expressing itself, and it is doing so beautifully. Today it's doing one thing, tomorrow it's another thing, but all is good. And Beatrice is training herself to see everything as all good. And when she thinks back over her family, no matter what past experiences they may have had, which were a challenge to them, she sees them as coming out good and beautiful and fantastic. She sees each one of them as being a master, just like she is. And as she does this, when she is standing next to a fire, she's not breathing in the smoke. She's breathing pure air. Because the air is not the air from the outside of her that she's breathing, it's the air inside of her. Now you say, how do you do that? Well, that takes a real wonderful consciousness. That's living in a life, in a world, in which all things are pure and beautiful and good. I told you my adventures of going through forest fires and taking pictures and walking in there without any type of breathing apparatus. And as I came out, the firemen were all decked in their breathing apparatus, and they said, oh, you know. And I breathed the pure air. I was so intensely interested in the beauty of the pictures that I was taking, flames, you know, and the neat adventure. And I wasn't even thinking about breathing. And I breathed pure air. There was no smoke in my lungs whatsoever. Now, you say, Herb, that's a miracle. No. It can happen to all of us every single day of our life if we remain in our purity. That's why children are so fortunate, because they're in their original purity and integrity, and they haven't wandered from it. We too can return to the awareness that it is there, of our original purity and integrity, and live a very beautiful life. It's up to us. It's up to us, because where do you put your attention? Are you opposed to things, or are you harmonious with things? If you're harmonious with good, that's what you create in your life. If you're opposed to evil, that's what you create in your life. You know? Sounds terrible, but that's what it is. And if you think of yourself, you see, this is another point that is so valid right now and always is. If we live now, there is no otherness. Are you breathing your now air? Are you breathing the air that is going to be in your lungs or that had been in your lungs or whatever? You're breathing now. And what you're breathing is nothing. Nothing. What you're drinking is nothing. What you're eating is nothing. Your being. Then, you see, the nowness is an absolute quality. It does not allow for yesterday or tomorrow. It does not allow for a second ago or a second to come. It's now. And in the now, there's no inhale or exhale. It's just beingness. Can you understand that? Now, when we train ourselves in this mental concept of now, in this mental concept of absolute presence and absolute existence right now, that's what we teach in the absolute. When we can train ourselves in that, then there is no air to breathe or food to eat or water to drink. There's none of these to be or has been. There's only the is. And gosh, that's exciting. That's exciting. What do people think of you? They think of you what you are right now, as an is. They don't think of you what you will be. Well, he's studying to be a doctor, you know, or he was a terrible person, you know, or he was a doctor, but then he had a brain tumor and he lost all of his bloop up bloop, you know, and stuff like that. Well, you know, no. You live in the now. And in the now, all is perfect and all is good and all is true and all is right now. So, that's a point, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So, as we live who we are right now, and that's what we are doing, if you think beautiful thoughts, then that's what you're living. Mm-hmm. If you think beautiful ideas about the world, that's what you're experiencing. And if you love me as much as I do, you will be super duper. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.